Praise God. We're going to get started this morning. I do appreciate every man that's made the time to come out. And this morning we're going to have Pastor Juan Pablo Cardo give the class this morning. He represents our leadership in Argentina. And so let's open our hearts. Let's hear from God. Pastor Cardo.
All right. Thank you. Let's open our Bibles in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. I ask for some brothers to help me, because if I will read in English, we'll stay here until service. So that will be not fun, okay? So let's start it in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
Amen. So one thing that is very interesting, I want to talk to you about, you know, knowing your weakness. We live in a generation that love to perform. It's a picture thing, you know. You want to show everybody that you are the big shot, you know, the big guy, that you're tough, that you are something else. Yes or no? It's that kind of generation that where we live. So one thing that I learned is in the NFL, the teams spend sometimes $1 million in personality profiles over all the candidates or the draft people. They perform research about their lives, how they live, how they react, if they can handle the pressure. You see very often that players cannot, you know, handle the pressure, no, in life, which is very interesting. That you and me need to understand something, that is someone that keeps a file from you. You know, you need to understand that is very interesting, because the devil knows you very well. So I want to talk about knowledge your opponent, because Satan is a personal enemy. And this is something that sometimes we don't understand, because it sounds basic, but it isn't, because people have a natural tendency to, let's say, not personalize God. It's like, okay, God, in a massive way, you know? Or when, God, help me. But they didn't realize, they didn't personalize, you know, his relationship with God. And sometimes that could happen to us, because we don't understand that we have a personal adversary. And this is very, very important for you to understand, because sometimes we are so hurried living our lives that we really pass very fast through that reality. The New Century Version in verse 8 say, control yourselves and be careful. The devil, your enemy, goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to eat. I want to just give you a couple of insights from the Bible for you to understand. The Bible says very clear that Jesus says, Peter, Satan asks for you. So Satan looketh into your file and say, ooh, nice. Let's call Peter today and say, Jesus, say, Satan asked for you. And this is not only for him. If you look at that, In the Old Testament, you will see that Job, Satan was with a long detailed file of him, saying, no, you have his family in that way, his work, you protect his work, you protect his life, you protect his stock, you know, it's a file. And sometimes we don't realize that. We don't pay attention to that. That Satan has a profile of each of us. You know, it's very interesting when you see the sometimes in Nat Geo the migration of the Serengeti, which is when the gnu, which is an animal like a small buffalo, migrate, you know, looking for water. The lions know exactly where they have to position themselves, waiting for this gnu to go into the water to drink water, because they are so thirsty that they have to choose. Or they die on the wilderness, or they take the risk, because they know that the lions are there. But they have to take the risk to go down to drink the water. And it's because the lions know where they are. And the news know where the lions are. So it's very interesting. We have a very famous coach in Argentina. His name is Marcelo Bielsa. Marcelo Bielsa is a famous soccer coach in the world. And he is coaching a team in England. Is the name of is the Leeds United. The Leeds was in the second division, and Marcelo Bielsa took them to the Premier League right now. And one thing that happens to him is that the league fined him with 200,000 pounds. Is in pounds, no? Because he spied the other teams. He didn't know that was illegal by that time. So the league fined Leeds. But Marcelo Bielsa say, no, I didn't know that was illegal to do that, so I will pay for myself. So we call El Loco Bielsa, because he's crazy. No, they fined the team, but he say, no, I will pay for myself. So it's crazy. El Loco is crazy. But what that means is that he sent scouts to watching the training of the other teams to look it for insights, so where is their weakness and stuff like that. So you need to understand something. The devil did the same thing with you and me. So our temptations are, like I say, tailor-made. This is that, okay, tailor-made. 2 Corinthians 2:11.
So that we may not be taken advantage by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes.
Okay, we are not ignorant of his devices, says in another older translations. And it's a, let's say it's a handmade device, which means that whatever works for me, maybe not work for you. You know, because it's handmade, and we are all different sizes. You know, I'm 44. But you have people here that is maybe 48, 46, 42, and it's very different. Ephesians 6, 11.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yeah, so you have an enemy that study your weaknesses. He study you. And it's very interesting to understand that maybe the things that tempt me not tempt you. And that is one of the things that I want to go, because Satan operates in that kind of environment, and he tried to crush you and me. Let me tell you something about my family. I came from a family of very skillful people. My older brother, he's a lawyer. He can play. He play all the instruments. He's a teacher of guitar. He get scholarships always. He never pay in a private school because he always was the first, so he always get scholarships. I have one sister that is a mathematician, doctor, NASA level, you know, in Argentina. That kind of doctors only you have 6 in the country, so for you to realize. And I am the black sheep. I'm not that level. But let me tell you what I see. How the devil play with, especially with the skillful people. Oh, he make it's a party for him. You know, it's a festival, because the skillful people always is easy to get distracted in many diversions. No, and it's very easy for them to get caught and derail from the will of God. I will show you this in a moment, and how that go in our lives. Exodus 5, 4.
Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor.
Okay, so this is a picture of Satan, we know that. And here is Satan say, why are you getting distracted or being a slave? So keep sinning. You need to keep doing what you're doing. So I don't want it that you get distracted of your ways. So you need to keep in the way you are because you are a slave. And I don't want it that you move to any other place that being a slave. Okay? And sometimes, I tell you something. Sometimes slavery came in a form of a file that Satan knows exactly what buttons he has to push inside of you to keep you in one path. You understand? It's very important for you to understand that because all of us have patterns of conduct. And he will try to push the buttons but to keep you in a track. You need to understand something about the devil. He wants to keep you in a track. So the objective is that you don't listen to God and don't listen to Moses, which for us means you don't have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And of course, you don't want to listen to your pastor because you are so smart, you know? So Exodus 6:9.
6:9?
Yeah, 6:9.
So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage.
You understand? We are talking about Moses, God anointing man that, we know is one of the best in the Bible. But the people don't want to listen to them because the devil knows how works the file, on them. And it's something very interesting that you will see in your life that when the pastor came to you or tried to talk to you, we always have a better idea. I am the one that always know better, and always have a better idea than my pastor. Because I came from the army and stuff like that, you start to think that you know better than your pastor, that you know better than everybody. And I chihuahua, let me tell you. Oh, that set the drama in my life. God says, no. We need to go for a plan B with you. You're like Noah, and not like Jonah. You don't listen plan A, let's go with plan B. No? So I didn't listen plan A because I always knew that I knew better. So God has to go with me in plan B. And we'll go with that in a minute. So it's very interesting that you need to guard yourself and you need to understand that you will not have spiritual victories by accident. Let me tell you something. You will not grow by accident. You will grow, when you understand things that are very critical. You will not grow in your life just, I don't know how, but I grow. No, that will not gonna happen. Growth is something, it's a decision that you will, put in your will and you will move forward on that. Because the Bible says that we don't have to ignore the devices of the devil. Matthew 6:13.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So it's very interesting that sometimes people is really into witchcraft, occultism, talismans, the lucky things that you hang on yourself, because they believe in some kind of patterns in their lives. And I tell you something, the Bible says very clear, you need to be sober. And this is one of the main things that you need to understand, sober. Because let me tell you what happened. When you are sober means honest, and this is very hard for us, being honest, especially with ourselves. Being honest. Second, sober means absent of intoxicate substance that are, okay. Another thing means clear thinking. Clear thinking. This is one of the main problems when you are battling with these kind of strategies. And in 1991, the Pinatubo volcano in one of the islands of Indonesia blew up in, I think it was in Philippines. And the thing with that Pinatubo volcano is this, it was a huge American military base, but that time in the next to the Pinatubo mountain. And so United States must to evacuate everybody, because you know where an American base is, that creates thousands of jobs. So it's a huge city around a military base from America. So they have to evacuate everybody, and they ask one of the local, the doctors that study the terrain and everything, why they put a base next to a volcano. And he say, when you treat a volcano like a mountain, you don't understand something. What's a 600 years that volcano didn't explode? But you never treat a volcano like a mountain. And a lot of Christians treat his flesh like it's a mountain. Well, we can put a house here. We can go a little bit closer. No, your flesh is your flesh. You cannot treat your flesh like it's a mountain. It's a volcano. You understand? And sometimes we don't get it. And we treat our flesh and we treat our weaknesses like it's a mountain. No, it's not. It's a volcano. And sooner or later, we'll explode. And better you be prepared for that. You understand? So that is a big problem in the sight of a lot of people. So the question is this. What are your weaknesses? Did you know that you have weaknesses? Because let me tell you something. I want to be honest with you. When I entered in the kingdom of God, I didn't know that I had weaknesses. Seriously. I thought that I was good, that my life was okay. Because I didn't, like a good Catholic, I didn't kill anybody. I helped the older people to cross the streets, you know, so I consider myself a good person. Until I find out that I have a flesh, an ego, and a lot of things working inside of me that was really killing me. So, even the heroes of our faith, they struggle and they fight with his own weaknesses. Moses fought against his temperament. Okay, because remember, he killed an Egyptian. He was very fast to respond. David fought against lust, but Elijah fought against depression. Peter fought against pride, and Thomas against unbelief. So you see, it's not like no. The people even the Christians or even the pastor, they were perfect. No, I wonder how much sin could be avoided if you are sober about your own weakness. You understand? Because we are not sober, we don't think well about our own weaknesses. So that happens to me, and I start in a confrontation with my pastor, because the I got saved with a missionary pastor that was there, and an Argentinian pastor took over. And when the Argentinian pastor took over, I start to fight with him, because I said, no, this is not the way that the former pastor did things. And I start to fight with him for some things that were real and others don't, because my pride, my ego. So the Lord says, it's not good. You need to sit down in a chair and let me work with you. Say, I'm not made to be sitting in a chair, God. You know, let me move forward. No. You sit down in a chair for how long? Let's say 7 years. It was not fun, I tell you. But But the Lord says, you will stay here, you stay in the church, will not move. But that time, my pastor not even let me talk to the new converts. So I was not allowed to talk with anybody. I just been faithful, go to church, sit down, and shut up for 7 years. Was not funny. But the first 2 or 3 years, I think the word in English is whining. No?
Yeah. Yeah,
whining,
yeah, pretty good.
Whining.
Yeah.
I know that nobody of you did that. But anyway, I did it. No, I whining and complaining and was God against God. And I say, Lord, you are super wrong. You have no clue what you are doing. I'm so upset with you and with my pastor and with the church and with the world. And everybody's against me. Pobrecito. No? So what happened is that is the way that God deals with skillful people, because skillful people sometimes is very complicated because they think always they have a better approach or a better thing or a better point of view, or you know, and we like persons sometimes get stuck on that So but the end of the, I think was the third year, I was almost ready to quit. No, but the Lord was saying, no, that you're good. No, I'm not good. Not good at all. I'm not meant to be sitting in a chair. I am that way. That's it. But let me tell you what happened. That started to change my motives inside of me and give me the time to look at myself in the mirror. And I start to see myself in the mirror and say, oh yeah, you're not so good. You're not so brilliant. And I start to understand that the devil has a file of each of us, you know? And if you don't understand that, I tell you something, you will suffer in your life a lot. So what happened is, soon as I understand that, God was dealing with my inner motives. And one time praying, the Lord says to me, why you want to preach? And I said, oh, because I love you, Lord. I want to see the kingdom go forward. I love you. I want to see the souls saved. Really? Really? No, seriously. No, I'm talking about, this is prayer. No, I'm not talking with a human being. I'm praying. And the Lord said, really? Is that true? Or you love the attention, and you love to be in charge, or you are, you know, an officer, and you love to give orders, and you love that the people do whatever you say, and say, well, it's a little bit of that, too. And he say, a little bit? And I say, it's a little bit more than a little bit. So he said to me, okay, if you want to be a pastor, why you don't start to you know, follow up more, evangelize more, love the people that I love without any recognition, you know? Do the thing, the will of God without any recognition. And I reached the point in one time that I said to God, and I said, Lord, even if I never go to the field, even if I never be a pastor, if you come back tomorrow, I wanted that you found me doing your will. What is your will? Preaching your gospel, loving people, you know, and doing your will. And when I did make that prayer, was the first time in my life that I, you know, really, I went to the cross and I died. And nobody likes to die, you know? But I die there. And that day, something switched in my heart, and I understand that the devil has a file of each of us. He want to kill you. And if you don't understand that, you are a dead person already. Because one day he will pull your file and will start to look at your weakness, and he will... Let me tell you, he will give you a hard life. So our trust is the danger of looking at a weak point, you know. And this is one of the things that that can really come against us. Because when you look at our weakness, when we look at our weaknesses, that things can bring despair. Because they say, no, this is crazy for me, you know, that's my weaknesses. And many times you will see that is one of the hardest things that you can do. But God always has an answer to that. And it's in verse 6 when it says, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. Humble yourself. And this is something really hard for people in our generation, that we love to perform, we love selfies, you know? And it's really hard to humble ourselves and say, okay, no, I will put my life under another man and I will follow his instructions, like it or not. That is really hard. And more in this generation that knows everything, knows better, because in my generation, we don't have Google. You have Google. So you can Google it wherever you want now. So it's more complicated. And our weaknesses should lead us to God and makes us dependent on Him. So remember the two men that go to the temple to prayer? One was a Pharisee and the other was a sinner. What happened with the Pharisees? He prayed with himself. Remember? Because he didn't know his weaknesses. But the sinner says, Lord, have mercy on me. The other say, yes, I know who I am. And guess what? One of them pray with himself. And the other one, you know, was totally forgiven, totally changed, totally transformed. Because he understand that part that is very important. Our weaknesses can become our strength. That is so critical for you to understand. 2 Corinthians 12:9.
He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Amen. That means that Paul understand that if you understand that the devil has a file, and you understand that your weaknesses are something that are inside of you, and you cannot hide that from the devil because he knows you, and he has a file, you can become a good Christian when you change that attitude. If you were lazy, you can be diligent. I have a lot of disciples that were very lazy. Actually, they not even work when they got saved. And now they're super diligent, they work, and his biggest weakness become his biggest asset already. You understand? So you can take your weaknesses and transform that in something very useful for God. You don't have to be that way all the time. I have people that when I write to the church, they were very lonely people. But as soon as the Holy Spirit touched them, they become a people person. They start to share the gospel. They start to change. And now, if I show one of them that they were like a hostrich, no, it's like this, and you see how friendly they are, you say, man, I will never believe you that these people wasn't that way. And no, it is, because what is your weakness can become your strength. So Glenn Cunningham was a runner that ran with Luis Zamperini during the Second World War and ran into the Olympics. And Glenn Cunningham burned all his legs when he was 6 years old. He's brought in a fire in his house. His brother died, and his mom do not let the doctors to amputee his legs. And what happened is he started to work three or more times harder than everybody else to walk, to go forward. So guess what? Like he works harder and harder and harder, he became one of the biggest runners in America, because he works over his weaknesses a lot. So if you start to work over your weaknesses, let me tell you what happened. You will become very good at it. And that will help you a lot, because one thing that you need to understand is, yeah, it's true. The devil knows you personally, but
Jesus know you personally too, which is very important. Psalms 147, 3 and 4.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of stars and he calls them by the name.
Okay, if you see this, it's like God is talking about soccer and enchiladas. Seriously. Yeah, it's he healed the wound and count the stars. Doesn't make sense, no? So we go from heal the wound and count the stars. Well, in the Via Láctea galaxy, in our galaxy, we have 300, let me go in English, 350,000 millions of stars only in the Via Láctea, here in our galaxy, which means that God counts every stars and he knows by name, which means what? He say, I'm healing the wounded and I count the stars and I know all by name. Which means for me that he knows exactly and he has a file for us. You understand? So it's, I'm heal you because I know every detail, every star in your life. I know everything. So it's very important for you and very critical. So this is an attitude that we have to have to our life. Moses says to Pharaoh in Exodus 10, 27, 26.
Our livestock also shall go with us, and I hope shall be left behind, for we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And even we do not know what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there.
I think in Spanish say, we will not left not even a single nail. No, nothing. It's like it's an attitude that, you know what? I will not go back. I will not pull back. I will not go back. I will move forward and I will trust. And you know what is so hard for us? Like our trust was mistreated a lot of times. We are not very used to trust. But let me tell you something. Trust involves a lot of faith. You need to understand that. Trust involves faith. And we only trust in ourselves. That is the main problem. So when you believe, you trust in your pastor, you will develop faith. Sometimes people want to develop faith and say, well, Lord, I want to see that. But if you don't trust in your pastor, it will be really hard, I tell you, that you develop your faith. And I tell you that why? Because I have to trust in a pastor that was very insecure, that attacked me a lot, but he teach me a lot too. You know, because you know what? I said, Lord, I don't care. At the end of the fifth year sitting in a bench, which is not funny at all, more for people than me, I'm electric. I want to do something. I want to make things happen. And I'm not that kind of person that is meant to be sitting in a chair. You know, I don't know how to say that in English. It's empollando un huevo. When you are when the chicken is in the nest, you know, with the eggs, you know, they're doing nothing. I'm not that kind of person, you know. But at the end of the fifth year, I said, Lord, I will serve my pastor. I don't care what he does. I don't care what he said. I will serve my pastor. I will serve you. And I will do your will. So by the time, remember, I surrendered in the way that I was outreaching, I was reaching people, I was talking with people, but now I need the authority thing in my life. So I say, I don't care, Lord. I don't care. Whatever he said, I will move forward. I don't want to look back, and guess what? God started to move in my life, and out of the blue, because you understand, every January, I went to my pastor and say, Pastor, you know that I have a call to preach. And he tell me, brother, you need to keep praying because I have nothing for you. I say, thank you. And go for another round. But every year I did that. I went to the pastor and say, you know that I have a call to preach? He said, you keep praying because I don't have nothing for you. Good. So I keep praying. And one day out of the blue, he said, you want to go to the field? Say, I said, yes, and he sent me out of the blue. After that 7 years of not do anything, God sent me to the field. Exodus 12, 31 and 32.
Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, up, Go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds, and as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also.
Yeah, so remember Pharaoh that say, no, you will keep working, you shut up, now he's asking for blessing because he's totally destroyed. Because, your biggest weaknesses can become, the best things in your life. And I learned from that, and I said, Lord, if you want to put Mickey Mouse in front of me, I will let Mickey Mouse lead me. Why? Because I learned that lesson, and that really, really saved my life, because for skillful people, it's very important to understand that it's one of the hard things for us to surrender. It's your will and be able to let other people have access, understanding that you have a devil that have a file of you, and you need protection. And that protection came from your spiritual fathers, from your pastor, from your church, from the Word of God, and for you to let other people lead you. Long story short, my older brother, because he's so skillful, he's the first who got saved in my family, but he wastes a lot of time on his life because he knows better than everybody. He had a call to preach too, but he left the fellowship, he went out, he backslid for almost 20 years. After a long time, he went back to the Lord, and he's preaching again. And he was talking to me and says, you know what, Juan Pablo, something that is really hard inside my heart is all the time that I waste. I waste more than 20 years because I don't listen to anybody. And I tell you something, you can waste a lot of time in your life if you don't understand. Don't treat your flesh like a mountain because it's a volcano. Don't treat, things like are very dangerous like are simple things. They're not. You need to, classify things in your life and understand that your biggest weakness can become your, biggest asset in your life. Okay? Okay, that's it.
Amen. Praise God. Any questions?
So when you were in the time when you were waiting, working on character and stuff like that, what did you do to really identify and work on those?
Because when you're sitting in a chair, you have time to think. Because seriously, because we are so busy in life that sometimes we didn't stop to think what we are doing. We're just doing. And that really took my life to see all the things that I was doing. By example, I didn't notice that I ignored my wife. One example, because I was a doing thing kind of person, I forgot that I have a wife. One time, an evangelist came and gave a word to my wife and say, because you feel like a truck passed all over you and you feel devastated, and say, oh really? I didn't know that. Because I was so busy doing things that I didn't realize that my wife was all smashed, crashed. And God gave me that sensitivity to understand and stop and look how I was approaching life and things that I was a really blind side for me. Like one of the things was my wife. If that will not happen, I tell you something, my wife will be very bitter with me, but she's really good with me now after 28 years. So I learned how to stop and see things that before I just ignored it because I just want to go. So this is one thing.
How did you keep from getting bitter during that time?
Well,
your pastor and other people?
Oh,
and pastor and everybody, because you feel that everybody's against you. You understand that the devil is trying to play in your brain a lot. And one of the things is that as soon as I arrive, after the waning process, when you're waning, forget it. So it's a time that God will let you go to the floor like a baby and cry and cry and make all your stupid things, you know, like a baby. Then when you finish, he can talk to you. So one of the things is I stop whining. I stop complaining. As soon as you stop to complaining, you are able to hear God. Until you don't stop, you cannot hear him. So as soon as I start to complaining and whining and crying and all that, my baby manifestation, the Lord start to speak to me. And then the good thing about this is this: you need to take step by step. You cannot run. When you're in that place, the worst thing that you can do is try to run. You have to go little by little, look at your witnesses, and dealing with little steps at the time, like in my wife. So I said, stop. No, I will stop, and I will start to look at my wife. And I focus on her. Soon as she starts to be good, God will move you to the next step and different areas. And what keep me for not get bitter is that I understand that God called me to preach. Let me tell you why. Because as soon as I went to the field, I didn't went to the field in a normal way like we did in our fellowship. And like, okay, we send you, we lay hands on you, and you have all your church behind you. You have resources. You know, the pastor paid for you, paid for your equipment, paid for everything, send invasion teams. Not going to happen to me. My pastor came to me and said, you're going to go to the field? Yes. Okay, but I was not going to help you. You go for your own. So I get a loan from my job to relocate myself in another part of the town, and I pay for everything. No, I'm not complaining for that. That was so cool. I tell you, I preach in my house, no help, no nothing. But after 7 years, I was totally and absolutely no doubt that God called me to preach. And as soon as I arrived to my pioneer place with no reference points, with no pastor, with no church, with no help, with no money, guess what? God get in control because I trust him. You understand? And that really put a seal on my heart. When when you start to preach, the devil will play mind tricks in your brain. Say, no, you're not called to preach. This will not gonna work. And I tell you something. When that happened, guess what? The Lord say, no, I sit you in a chair 7 years for one reason. So now start to waning and complaining again. If not, we'll start all the process. No. I say, okay, I will keep preaching. I'll keep preaching. And boom. And that really keep my heart for not got bitter against the people, because I understand that was God working inside of me, because he's in control, not you know, the devil. The devil has a file, but God is in control, you know. So I focus on that, and little steps, not big things, little steps that will help you.
Any other questions? Good. Let's thank Pastor Juan Pablo this morning.